I really enjoy to be here today and to see Craig again and his wonderful family and all of you friends that I know through the years. And like Craig said, this year we have been close for 14 years together, because in the wedding of Ron and Michelle, 2001, same season, 21st, right? Yeah. 21st, we're going to celebrate 14 years. We married Ron together. And it was great. And since there, we have a wonderful fellowship and relationship. And I really appreciate that friendship. And it's good this morning to be together in the house of God. Amen. We already have the relationship with God and with each other, vertical and horizontal. So, which is great. That's make the full of our life. That's make the cross, vertical and horizontal. And it's great. And today we'll hear the word of the Lord from that. I meditate on this for the last few days. I shared this with the church in Augusta, that's how I can, Augusta, with Pastor Tom Lunger. The other day we went there for one night and it was great. And this morning I'm excited to be here. First, greetings from my wife Tanya. She say hello to every one of you and from our church as well. Craig was with us last year and we have a great service, great time together in Bulgaria. And always he been a blessing when he came and when he ministered to us. I hope this morning I will be a blessing to you as well. I say this in my humbleness. The message that I will gonna share with you this morning, it's called Anointing, and it's based on the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 8, and we're gonna meditate about the anointing and what anointing means for us today. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 8. Let your garments, or your clothes, depends on the translation, let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Solomon said two things in this verse. Your garments must be white. Your clothes must be white. Of course, we have different colors today. And he doesn't talk about our clothes outside. He talks about our clothes inside. According to the book of Revelation, our clothes are the righteousness, and our clothes are the righteous acts that we do. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 says that those who follow the lamp and follow the Messiah, they are what. Let me read this verse. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness acts of the saints. To have white garments or to have white clothes, this is our righteousness acts. And seven times in the book of Revelation, Jesus mentioned to the whole church, all these seven churches, I know your works, I know your labor. Or other way, I know your clothes. I know what you're doing, I know how you're doing. And every church has a specific aroma. This church has an aroma, my church has an aroma, every church has a specific flavor. Like the seven churches, they are completely different from each other. But God say to everyone, church, I know what you're doing. I know how you're doing. I know what are your works. And God has a future for everyone, church. He has a future for Relationship Church. He has a future for Messiah Church. He has a future for everyone location. Because he is a God who wants to bring his church to a good place. So the righteousness acts, our white garments, are so important. And Solomon say, always they must be white. But also, when we read the Bible, we can see that Some churches think that they have white garments, but they are naked. One of the church that was naked was the church in Laodicea, the seventh church. That church think that she was rich. That church think that they were so deep in the presence of the Lord that they think that they are so wise. They think that they see everything. But Jesus said to that church, "You are poor. You are blind, and you are naked. Come to me and buy." And when you buy from God, it's different kind of shopping. Not like we're going to buy from Walmart stuff. It's we need to go to Him, humble ourselves, and try to go deep and to ask for His presence to come and touch us again, and He can white our clothes. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, He met God, His Father. God spoke from heaven. He sent Elijah and Moses there to comfort Him. And the presence of God was so strong, so when Jesus came down from that mountain, all His clothes was white because of the presence of the Lord. Because Jesus, He was of course Son of God, He doesn't need to change anything inside. That's why His clothes was changed outside, but we need to change inside. And so we need to garm ourselves with the white clothes, which is our righteousness acts. And the second thing that is saying in this verse, and I will emphasize more on that, let your head lack no oil. The oil is important for our life. Oil is anointing. Oil is something that we need over our head. David says in Psalm 23, verse 5, he said that you has anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. How is your cup this morning? That's my question. I don't need answer. But your cup, is that you? That's the vessel. Is run over, or is just in the bottom, or just in the middle? Yeah, it depends. If we're looking positive, we'll say my cup is half full. Or if you look negative, we'll say my cup is half empty. Depends how we see. But David said, my cup runs over. You have anointed me with oil. In Psalm 92 verse 10, also the psalm say, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. It's very important for our life to be anointed with fresh oil every day. We need this for our walking with God. And it's not only outside to be anointed, but to be anointed from the presence of God every day. Our cup to run over so we can go deep and deep with God. And we needed this because we are in the marathon, long term. We need this for the ministry. We need this for our family. We need this for our business. Different people are anointed in different areas. Some are anointed to make business and make money. Some are anointed to lead people. Some are anointed to play guitar or violin. Some are anointed to worship and sing. Some are anointed to preach. When preacher preach, they don't need any notes. They just know what to do because the anointing is upon them. Some are anointed to serve. Some are anointed to be a good relational person. So, different areas. When you discover your area, where is it? Where is your calling? You need the anointing, so the anointing can help you to do your best in the best way. I like to worship, but I'm not in the worship team. Sometimes when I jump on the pulpit after when the worship team finish, and I try to lead the church in the worship, and I just look at my daughter, that is enough. When I see her, or when I see my son, my daughter just say, "Dad, don't do that," without words. And I realize immediately that's not my part, because I immediately stop the anointing when I try to sing. So I can sing when I'm just by myself, and I thank God that He has a filter in His ear, so He hears. So he can hear my best worship. But it's not my gift. Sometime Tanya told me, you even didn't sing right. You take another vocation or you take another chord. And I say, it doesn't matter, it's my worship. But some people are anointed to do things and they do it easy. I couldn't play instruments. I couldn't do some things. But I can do some things that because anointing is upon me. So it's important for us to fill our cup every day with that fresh oil. The Bible says that when I read that verse, you have exalted my horn, you have anointed my horn like an old ox. The Hebrew word for horn, or even for shofar, is authority. Authority. Anointing is a special authority and power with which God put a person to ministry or to do something. When the priest has been anointed, everybody knows that he has a power to be a priest. He was smelling good. They can understand from distance that he's a special anointing over him. When king was anointed, he has immediately power. When the prophet was anointed, he has immediately power to do for what he was anointed. There is only three type of offices in the Old Testament that was anointed: the king, prophet, and priest. Those three has a special authority. It's very rare that we can see one person to hold all these three type of anointing. We have some, like Moses, like Samuel. But if somebody was anointed to be a king, he is a king. He was anointed to be in the authorities, in the government. He can rule. He can take the nation in the right place. If somebody was anointed to be a prophet, he is a prophet. If somebody was anointed to be a priest, he was a priest. In the New Testament, the Bible teach in the John letters and also in the other place that all of us are anointed. Everyone is anointed in the body of Christ. Everyone has this special access to God's grace, God's presence. And the context of the 1 John chapter 2, for what we are anointed to recognize the truth and to separate the truth from the lie. Because it's anointed from God. When you are anointed, you know that God give you understanding to know what is truth and what you to believe and how you can follow it. And this anointing is upon everyone. But also we are anointed in our offices, in our ministry, in our calling, in our business, in our family, etc., etc. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 say, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. I was thinking what this mean to us, how the yoke shall be destroyed. And then I found years ago what that means. After a whole day working on the field, the neck of the ox, the neck has thickened and hardened. The neck became so big because the yoke is upon him. And after a whole day of working, when the day is over and the owner of the ox or the steward or the farmer bring back the ox to his house, he took oil and spread or put oil over the neck of the ox, and it helped to slip off the yoke, because the neck was so big during the hard labor and hard work, and the oil helped just that yoke to be slaked out from his neck. And it's very important for us, because we have been trying something very hard. We have been working hard for many things, maybe to do a business, maybe to do new steps or in the ministry. I know when I make some mistakes in my ministry. I've been in the ministry for almost 25 years, 12 years assistant pastor in Lovech, and 13 years senior pastor in Stara Zagora. And I know that I need anointing in my ministry, because sometimes my neck is so hard and so tough and so big that the yoke is still there. And when the anointing came, it's take the yoke out. And we need that anointing to touch our heart again today, so all the yoke can be broken. It's something very important about the oil. Oil evaporates or dries. It's therefore necessary new refueling again and again. Don't trust from the oil from last prayer or from last conference last year somewhere. Just fill your cup every day, because you needed fresh oil. Like the Psalms say, fresh oil, you have anointed me with fresh oil. Also, the oil dries or expires. The oil can flow through the small holes or pores. If some vessel is broken, the oil will go directly from there, because he'll find a way to link. The oil must be thick to be good for use. The good oil, virgin oil that we have, is very thick. And it's good for use, for salad, for everything that we like it. And also the oil must be smell good or scent, because it stinks when it's not fresh. When you have some time old oil and you just open it, it stinks bad. The religious people stink bad. They have not refreshed their oil and their head with a fresh oil. And I've been around religion people in my country, there are a lot, and especially in the national church that we have. And even you cannot have a conversation with them. Jesus was around religious people and he say, wow, what kind of miracles you want so I can prove that I'm a son of God? What kind of testimony you want? And they stink. And it's important for us to refresh or refill it again and again. The Hebrew word for anointing is massage. And the Greek word for anointing is charism. Same word for charisma. It's chrism. And it means, both words means rub it or rub in, spreads or embrocate. So for us it's important to have this oil over our ministry or our head. It doesn't matter what we're doing. Jesus was anointed, and when he went to his church in Nazareth, or the synagogue when he grew, in Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And he mentions certain things for what he was anointed. He said, I was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. I was anointed to open the eyes of the blind people. I was anointed to give freedom to those who are in captivities. I was anointed to proclaim the good ear of the Lord. And he said, today this was happened. Because he know that he was anointed. For what you are anointed today? Just think about that. What is your anointing? For business? Doing in your best way. For do ministry? Do it in your best way. For walking, for doing something with your hands? Doing in your best way. It's anointing over you. To be a mother? Doing in your best way. Hallelujah. To be a servant in the house of God? Doing in your best way. You are anointed. This was just introduction. Now will be my message. No, I'm joking. I will mention about the holy anointing oil in the Old Testament, how it was prepared and from what was prepared this oil. And I will talk about the five ingredients, how you say? Help me here. Ingredients or five herbs that the holy anointed oil was prepared. And I will read from Exodus chapter 30, verse 23 to 25. And you're going to have all these five on the on the PowerPoint. Exodus 30, verse 23 to 25. Also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from this a holy anointing oil, an ointment componented according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. In that verses, God said to Moses how he shall prepare those holy anointing oil. Every one of those ingredients means something to us today. Maybe we don't have them now, but they mean something. And the first one is Smyrna. Myrrh. That's our word we call Smyrna, but it's myrrh. Myrrh means change. They use myrrh for the funerals when they embalm the bodies. Jesus was embalmed with 100 of pounds or 100 liters, depends of the translation of the Bible, from Nicodemus and from Joseph, from Arimathea. He was embalmed because they were prepared to cover his body with myrrh. You must die for yourself to be able to carry the anointing. That's why the change is so important. Myrrh was a precious raisin which was acquired by a thorny tree in Arabia and parts of Africa. It's a special herb that also has a flavor and aroma, and it was expensive that time. It was people traded with that. You remember when the three wise men, or not three, but the wise men, we call them three because they give three gifts to the born king. But the wise men, when they came to see Jesus, they bring myrrh, they bring gold, and they bring holy, holy laces, fragrances. And because they bring myrrh, because Jesus has also body, and that's the man part, they bring gold because he was a king, and they bring holy Francis because he was also a priest. And myrrh means change. This is the hardest thing in our life, to be changed. Because when we have habits, we like to keep our habits in a particular way. I like my coffee in this way. I like to eat only this, which is fine. But sometimes we have habits only for the things that we accept. Oh, I don't like this guitar. It's too loud. I don't like these drums. I don't like this song. I don't like this. I don't like to read the Old Testament. It's too old. I don't like this book. And it's we need change. And if we want to carry the anointing, change is important for us. I remember when I accept the Lord, I was 20 years old. I was working in the nightclub in my city. A friend of me came and he gave me he gave me before a New Testament, so I reading, but I didn't understand nothing. I couldn't understand what means, so I throw it away. A few months later, he came on my work and he started to witness me, and he invited me with him to go to church. So I went to a church for the first time. Nobody in my relatives was a believer. Nobody told me about Jesus. I didn't know what Jesus mean. I didn't know even what church mean. I never been in church before. Just something new, because I grew up under the communism regime. And it's happened when the same year, 89, when the communism fell down. So he took me to a church for the first time. I heard the message. I decide to repent. I ask the Lord, if He is real, He can come to my heart. That's happened in the New Year Eve, 1989. The whole year of 1989 was a year of change for me. It doesn't happen immediately. It doesn't happen radically. It's happened piece by piece, step by step. But God changed my life. I have no any more desire to work in the nightclub, no any more desire to do bad things. He opened my eyes so I can understand the New Testament, and I pray for a Bible, and I receive a Bible, and then I have... When I say I pray for a Bible, it's true, because I pray 6 months for my first Bible, because there is no other way you can have Bible except somebody to give it to you, because there is no Bible on the bookstores that time. So I went to my pastor. He was an elderly man from the Church of God in Bulgaria, and I asked him for a Bible, and he said, "Do you really want a Bible?" I say, "Yes." And he said, How strong you really want a Bible? You believe it, that this is the Word of God, and you're going to read it?" I say, "Yes." So he went to another room under the bed or something, like in the small basket. He opened it and he gave me a brand new Bible, and he say, "Keep it and carry it, read it." So I read my Bible 7-8 hours every day in my first months, because the hunger inside of me was so big. And then I feel like the change is coming. And I, that moment, I realized that God is calling me for ministry. And immediately next year, in 1990, a small group of young people, we start a church. 8 people, we start a church. That church exists till today. And Ron is a part of that church in Lovech, Bulgaria, when I was assistant pastor for 12 years. And we start that church with passion. But this never happened before change to happen. So if you want to carry the anointing, first important things for us, be ready to be changed. Yes. Die for yourself. Amen?
Yes.
And I tell, this is the hard part. But there is another hard part too. The second part is cinnamon. Second herb. Cinnamon means humility. It's required humility to carry the anointing. The book of James tells us in chapter 4, verse 6, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." If you want to carry the grace, if you want to carry the anointing, you must humble yourself before the Lord. So this is also a hard part, to carry the anointing. Humility is not easy. We are people by nature, they are proud. Even the little kids. You know the first words that the little kid learn? "It's mine. It's my cup. It's my gum. It's my toy. It's my candy. It's mine." And that's the flesh. And the flesh sometimes is so strong in us. Cinnamon means humility. Cinnamon is obtained from the tree by bark, which 2 years is peeled and rolled into small cones, like we see it. Cinnamon is a very aroma herb. It smells very good. I like cinnamon to put in my coffee. Maybe you do the same. Or you like cinnamon rolls. They are beautiful. That's why we are so... because they are so good. In the past, people trade with cinnamon, not only with gold and money, but they also exchange and trade with cinnamon. It was a very expensive herb. And they use cinnamon still in some countries, like in Turkey. Even when you walk in Turkey on the streets, they can give you, like here, they give you fresh tea and fresh coffee. In Turkey, they have a special drink. It's called medovina, which means milk, honey, and cinnamon mixed together. And it's hot, and they give it to you to drink. And it's good for your digestion, it's good for your body. When you drink cinnamon, that's good for your body. So try it. And that's mean humility. We, like a person, everyone has enemy, and I will mention with you the three enemies of the humility today. The first one is disobedience. When Saul became a king, and when God chose him, he even didn't know that the Lord will choose him. He was looking for his father's donkeys. He was busy with the business of his father. And the Lord chose Saul because the people of Israel, they want king. And Saul was nice and tall and beautiful outside. And God chose him and he anointed him. But few years later, Saul was a rebellious person. He was not very obedient to God. And he take decision to do things that is not allowed to him. Samuel, who was the prophet, was the one who need to sacrifice the animal. And he said to Saul, "Wait for me. And when I come, I will bring the sacrifice and then all people will eat together. This is my part." But Saul, he think because he is a king, he think because he can do everything, he decide to sacrifice the animal without Samuel. And when Samuel went, he say, "Why you did that? Today the Lord take the kingdom from you, because there is no obedience inside." And sometimes when we're not obedient, that's break the humility in us. The second enemy is immaturity. You try to do things before the time to come. And that's why we have in mature age in the country, in everyone country, like here in America is 21, in my country is 18. Then people can take their own decisions. They can go everywhere. They can do whatever they do because they are mature. But if you are immature in the Lord or in the Spirit, it's an enemy of our humility. Many people lose their ministry and their calling because of the immaturity. Or they try to do things before the time. I remember I was invited from different churches to go and be their pastor. Late 90s, early 2000. And I pray about that and I really want it. One of the church was in Pleven, another was in another city. And I just thinking about it. And I don't have any peace about to do it. And then one prophet, we do some conference and one prophet came to me and he said, "Be wise, be careful, because the devil will try to put you on the stage before your time." And I was wondering what kind of stage will be. And then I realized that those invitations, it was confirmation for my spirit inside and for the Holy Spirit that witnessed in me, that I need to reject that kind of invitations. But when 2003 came, and I received invitation from Stara Zagora to go and take the church. We was with Craig in Kenya that time in Nairobi, and we pray a heart what I should gonna do, what is my next step, what I need to take decision. And the last day, just before left Kenya, and we can separate, he can come to America, I can go to Bulgaria. We were in the hotel in Nairobi after our ministry, our mission trip. I talk with my wife and she say, "We have an invitation. I just call you to prepare you to think about it and pray and to know if it's God's will for us to go to that city," and etc., etc. Whole night we talk and we pray, and whole night the Lord spoke to me. Whole night. It was a presence of God in our room. And because I don't like to awake Craig, he was in his bed and sleep. I went to the extra place and extra room and the bathroom, and I pray almost the whole night. And God spoke to me, "It's your time now." And in the morning, when we take the flight, I have this conversation, and we We prayed together in agreement, and I realized that it's God's time on the right time. So many people try to do good things, but its time is not yet for them. They don't try to do bad things. They try to do good things, but you need to wait for the right time. It's so important. And the third enemy of the humility is competition. When you try to compare with somebody else, compare the ministry, compare the business, or try to do. There is a good part of the competition, but when you have a competition, don't try to hurt anybody else. Especially in the church, I don't believe that there is a competition in the church, because every church has an aroma, every church has a calling from God, every church has a unique place for everybody. God has chosen everyone in the church. You not invite yourself to church, God is choosing you. He say in book of John, I have chosen you. When He chosen me to be a pastor, I have a big desire, but He is the one who chose me to in the ministry. He is the one who chose you to be here today. He is the one who chose you, and He put you in the office because that's His will for you. And you need fresh anointing to keep that choosing. Amen? Amen. The third herb is sweet-smelling cane. It's called calamus. It means compassion. You cannot serve God without compassion. You cannot take care of good anointing without compassion. We need change, we need humility, and we need compassion. It says in Matthew 9:35-36 that Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He moved with compassion on them because they faint. He saw that these people need love. He saw that these people need care. He went one day to the city of Nain. It's written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. And He went to that city, and there is a lady, she was a widow, and she buried her only son. He died. And that lady, when I read that story, that lady, she never asked Jesus to do something for her. I think she even didn't know that Jesus is in the town, because she has a big problem. She was gonna bury her own son, and the only one. She lost all her hope, future, joy, everything. And when Jesus saw the funeral, I see when I read it that He saw her heart, how lonely she is. And the compassion inside of Him moved. When you carry the anointing over yourself, compassion is moving inside. Something starts to bubbling. And Jesus went to the funeral, and He went to the coffin, and He said to the mother, don't cry. And He touched His hand, He touched the body, and said to the boy, wake up. He bring back hope, He bring back future, He bring back joy, He bring back life to that lady and to that boy because of the compassion. Compassion is very important for us to carry the anointing. The story of Good Samaritan is similar in Luke chapter 10. We have three persons there. The priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. And we have a man who was beaten. The first two, they saw the man, but they saw just a victim. They didn't see a need. They passed him. They were so busy. The third man, the Good Samaritan, Bible says when he went there to the road, he saw that beaten man, and he get closer. That's what compassion do. You didn't serve just from distance. You just not promise, okay, I will pray for you, or you never pray. You didn't say, okay, I will do something for you, or never do. The compassion, the first thing what the compassion do is to get close. So he went to that guy, and he used his own resources, wine, oil, poured it on his body. Then he took him, he take very care of his body, and he take all the pain, and he took him on his own donkey, bring him to the inn. Inn is a representative of the local church. He take care of everything. And of course, that guy was in his own way. He has a business to do. Because he said to the innkeeper, there is some money, take care of that guy. On the way back, when I come, I will see how he's doing. Because he went on his business. He was also busy. I know we all of us are busy. And especially we live in the very busy society today. But if we want to carry the anointing, compassion is important for us. Amen? Amen. Who? The fourth thing. Cassia. How you say? Cassia? Cassia? Cassia means purity. Cassia was acquired from the bark of fragrant wood. This plant grows on high mountains, 1,500 meters high, which is about almost 5,000 feet. 5,000 feet high. You need to climb high to be purify yourself. When you go to God's presence, that's a high climb. When you go to the mountain to meet God, like Moses, like Jesus, that's a high climb. Moses was purified. Jesus was purified. Apostle Paul went to Tarsus for 3 years before he can go to the church in Antioch where he can be a part. I believe that something happened in Tarsus for 3 years. His old theology was changed from the Old Testament guy to a New Testament. You want to be purified, go higher to the Lord. Jesus saying, Matthew 5:8, blessed are those who are pure in heart, they will see God. To be pure in heart means that you need to be people with the right motives. Keep your conscience clean. That's purity. The conscious inside in our spirit is the lamp of God. That lamp needs to be shine all the time. When people quit that fire inside with their conscious, there is no anymore hope for them. They can do all different things because their conscious is not clear and not clean. Also, watch your character. I mean integrity, behavior, words, etc. All these parts of the character. We are a people of the world. We are a people of behavior. People watch us. So it's important to be a people with purity. And the third one, keep your confidence in God clean. Don't sell it. Don't try to trade with your confidence. Keep it to the end. Because your confidence is so important. God means something to us. He is not just an idol. He is not just somebody when I am in need, I need to go to him and he will supply my need. He is not just a rich uncle. God is the Almighty. He has called us in His kingdom and He has invited us to be a part of His body, of His bride. Keep that confidence. Paul say, I was walking the way and I keep my faith. And now I'm waiting for the crown of my life. When you walk with confidence, nothing can shake you. Nothing can destroy you. Because you don't put your faith in people, you don't put your faith in organization, you put your faith in the Almighty God, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Yes. Proverbs 4:23 say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart is the springs of life. So your life comes from your heart. When your heart is clean, lives came out. good life, beautiful life. People like to be around people who are clean. I like people who are transparent, because they are not one person on the pulpit, another person at home, third person on the work. They're same. They're transparent. They don't have anything to hold or to hide. They're just open. That's why I like Craig, because he's so transparent. He's clear and clean, and we can talk for all different kind of subjects. He don't try to be one person with me, another person with my wife, or another person with our church and with our friends. No. And I like people who are transparent. Jesus was so transparent with people also. He doesn't hide anything. And the last one is the olive oil. I will not make any doctrinal teaching from that. No. But every one of us has a lamp. Something that God is taking in our head to carry. But only five of them, half, has oil. Other, they were never paying attention. And the groom, thanks. He came during the night. And he wants to bring all of them near to him. But only five was able. Because otherwise, they became busy to go and find the oil. And the lesson from that is, don't try to the last minute. Don't wait to the last minute. Just fill yourself with fresh oil every day. Anoint yourself with the presence of God. Let your cup run over and over. We need that anointing. We need that change in our life. We need that humility. We need that compassion. We need that breakthrough in our life. We need everything what God is preparing for us. Let your head be anointed with fresh oil every day. Go deep in the presence of God. That's why I appreciate the worship today, because we go and just sing holy, holy of God. How holy is He? That's why we fellowship between each other, because when we fellowship, that's please God. That's why we pray to the Lord, because when we pray, He answers. Don't wait. It's time to anoint yourself with a fresh oil. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to pray, and we can all us stand up and just finish with...